Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. At BSERP Show. Now, let's get into the show.
San Diego, it's time to fire it up. From the beaches to the ballparks, from the gas lamp to North County, no one knows America's finest city like he does.
You can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime year.
Yes, he's a fourth-generation San Diegan, born and raised in the heart of this community. Passionate, opinionated, and always bringing you the real talk on your teams, your city, and everything in between.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
Live and local, it's the Brayden Sir Brennan Show.
But I think Brayden is one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Now, here's your host, Brayden Sir Prennant.
What's up, San Diego? A happy Thursday to everybody out there in America's finest city. I'm Brayden Sir Prennant. This is the Brayden Sir Prennant Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. We will be joined by Eddie Brown in the 1 o'clock hour. We will have Skyler coming in to make picks with us in a 1 o'clock hour. Clint Allard of UCSD men's basketball, the head coach, new head coach at UCSD, was a great player for the Tritons back in the day. He'll join us at 12:35 to kind of give us our final preview of the college basketball season, which will tip off on Tuesday. We'll talk about this managerial search for the Padres. I mean, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. We got the finalists. It's Ruben Niebla, it's Albert Pujols, it's Nick Hundley, and maybe one more candidate. I thought maybe they'd make the decision today, and maybe they will later today. I doubt they do it tomorrow, but in the report from Kevin Acey yesterday, it sounded like they were going to do it at the end of the week. And, by the way, we got information about how long the interview went with Albert Pujols. 9.5 hours. What are they possibly talking about for 9.5 hours?
Adam, I love this job. I really do. If this interview took 9.5 hours, I wouldn't be here.
At what point are you pulling a girl on a date that wants to get out of a date using her get-out-of-jail-free card? Hey, I got something to do in 2 hours. I got something to do right after.
Look,
how many hours are you into that where you're like, you know what? It's probably not going to work. Or you're just super into the job.
I forgot. My fish has a dentist appointment, like, now. So I got to go to that. I got to be there for emotional
support. But Albert,
support.
It's 10:30 at night. What fish dentist is open this late?
It's a
piranha.
Yeah, it's. I got to go somewhere.
I have to go like kind of black market.
Yeah. Well, no, we can't say that because then I look shady.
Well. Anyway. 9.5 hour interview.
to me, at that point in time, 9.5 hours, I mean, take that for what it's worth, okay? You can say that it was 9.5 hours of great baseball talk. You could say it was a vetting process. You could say whatever it is. 9.5 hours. That's what it's being reported.
At what point does it stop being an interview and more just hanging around with your buddies?
Or I get to hang out with Albert Pujols?
Exactly. What happened? At what point do we go from that to the other thing?
Jacob in the chat brings up a good point. What time did they start and stop the interview? It's a great question because we know, like, AJ probably didn't get any sleep. Like, was this overnight?
Brother put in a work day for an interview.
He gets overtime for that work day in the state of California. A little overtime day. 9.5 hours. You know what? Maybe they give an hour and a half lunch. Maybe they had an hour and a half lunch. 9.5 hour interview. That couldn't possibly be in a straight setting, right?
No, it can't.
That had to be like mixed up between a couple of times. I mean, what would you do? Start the interview at like 8 a.m?
That wouldn't go good for me. I'd be like, listen, you're not going to get me at my best for the first couple hours. I'm just saying.
Right.
Unless you want to push this back a little bit. Want to get breakfast. There's a good Denny's around. I know that.
IHOP, they had that $6 deal, remember?
Exactly, yeah, yes. Well, 7 in San Diego, apparently.
Yeah, I did have some people complain about that read. Yeah, AJ wanted to watch the World Series game with Albert to have on-hand commentary. You know what? I couldn't put it past them. I think that'd be great knowledge. But like,
That's called live video breakdown, is what that is.
How long did those interviews last with the other gentlemen? Like, did Nick Hundley have a 9.5 hour interview? I can't imagine Ruben Niebla having a 9.5 hour interview. I mean, they know about Ruben, right? I mean, they can't possibly have that long of an interview. Some of those, like, you know, I've interviewed for jobs before, for jobs that, you know, places already worked. Those go a little bit faster than places you don't know. I'll tell you that. It's one 21-hour interview. I mean, it just shows that AJ Brother didn't sleep. But when looking at this, and we're going to talk more about it in a second, about the managerial search, it comes down to three candidates at this point in time. There might be a fourth out there. And I think at this point, with everybody else picking their managers, it's time to make a decision. Did you see who the Nationals hired today?
Yes, I did see that.
They hired a 33-year-old.
And what am I doing at 33?
I'm 30, so in 3 years, I guess I could be a manager for an MLB team. I got some time, Frank. You got 1 year left, and then all of a sudden you better get
into gear. I don't have a year left.
You have less than a year left.
I have 2 months.
Oh, no.
2 months to the day.
You better start putting in your resume for managerial hirings.
AJ, how's it going?
33 years old. Do the Nationals have any players that are older than that right now? I mean, how do you think the Padres would do with a 33-year-old manager who's never done it before?
Welcome to the real little big league.
Seriously, the guy looks so young. Yeah, he's Trevor Williams' age. Trevor Williams is 33 and a half. Josh Bell is 33. Paul DeYoung's 32. I mean, it's going to be all his boys. Derek Law, he's a free agent. Don't have to worry about him. He was 35. I mean, come on. You look at the payroll for the Nationals for 2026. Shows everybody's age. Some of these guys are off the books now, so you don't have to worry about it. So the only guy is Trevor Williams. He's 33 and a half. That's it. Everybody else is under the age of 30 on that team. Maybe that's why you could do it. You just have to pay Steven Strasburg $35 million next year. He's the only other player on that roster that's old. Justin Hughes. I was trying to manage my son's T-ball team at 33. You know what? I bet you the egos of that T-ball team are a little bit different than the major leagues, though. Hey, you know what? It might even be worse. What's harder to do for a 33-year-old? Manage a T-ball team or manage a Major League Baseball team? It might be the T-ball.
Yeah, managing the parents of said T-ball team.
No, Johnny, you're running the wrong way. At least you don't have to do that at the major leagues.
I mean, at least that's funny.
Right. When you do that in the pros, you get fired.
Exactly.
You do it in T-ball, it's cute.
Can't do the whole just kidding bit.
Plus, all those kids, they get paid in snow cones and stuff. It's a lot easier. Snow cones, snacks, gushers. What else they got? I'm trying to think of like my T-ball snacks I used to get.
Listen, If
orange slices, get him going a little bit in the third inning. We need a little pickup here, boys. Come on now.
I'm just saying, if I'm Manny Machado and if I hit a grand slam in the sixth inning, I would be okay if somebody brought me a little package of Gushers. I'm just saying. I'm cool with that.
I'm trying to think of like the snacks I would have as like a when I was in T-ball. Back when I played T-ball in Scripps Ranch at Little League, they used to play at Miramar Ranch middle or elementary school, which they don't even play Little League games there anymore. But the field was all grass. And I remember like they used to, that was before, like I love what the Padres do with the jerseys.
Yes.
Right? They donate all the Padres jerseys because they were tired of having Little League Day and everybody's wearing all these random teams. So they donated all these Padres jerseys and all the different like eras of Padres baseball to all the local Little Leagues. I think it's great. The downside of that, though, is you're on the Padres every single year. Like, there's no mix-up. But I remember I was the my first ever T-ball team was the Yankees. That was before they used like actual logos. Like, my hat had like an SR on it. And then it was like a just a random script Yankees across the jersey. And that was when they had, I was just talking about this with a friend the other day. They used to have those like big felt banners, team banners they used to do. That was the coolest things as a kid for T-ball and like cat, like Little League and soccer. Soccer was funnier because like for the Little League teams, they were all MLB team names. So you always use like the MLB logos on these like felt banners that they would make. But for soccer, you would like see the creativity of all the kids and the team names they would come up with. Hilarious. I remember one year when I did, like, it was actually North County Soccer Park's, like, camp they did one summer. They used to do, like, the camp for, like, you know, remember to do, like, the camps in the summertime? Yeah. I'd always do sports camps. One of them that I did, I think I was, like, in fourth or fifth grade. North County Soccer Park did one. And, like, it was, we were with the fourth and fifth graders, or, like, the older group of that particular camp. And you got assigned a different T-shirt, North County Soccer Park, on it. Mm-hmm. And we had white T-shirts. We had like the lamest color. It was like no color. And so we were the Killer Marshmallows was the team name. It was the funniest name ever. And our coach was like, "There goes my marshmallows. Let's go."
There it is.
It was awesome. It was fun. It was fun times. I'm trying to remember the Little League snacks we used to get. I mean, Gushers and Fruit by the Foot were always like a popular item.
Those are the staples.
Popular item. At North County Soccer Park, they had slush puppies. I mean, that was a must-have.
Yeah, but if I'm...
Airheads?
Yes.
Big Airheads kid. Loved Airheads.
Jolly Ranchers, the little ones. Those were always
the hard
good.
Candy?
Yes. Because those lasted. Those would get you through a couple
of
days.
You were a sucker, weren't you? You like the sucker candy?
Shut up. Don't.
Okay. Kudos bars. I remember those too. Gonzo with the Kudos bars. Those were good. I'm trying to think of other things that we used to get for snacks. The Gushers and the Fruit by the Foot were always a big hit. They would never do the candy. Parents were like, "No, we're not going candy here."
The fruit roll-ups with the press-on tongue tattoos. Those are good.
What would you get at the snack bar? Do you have a snack bar in your local Little League?
Yeah.
Like, because then you would go, your parents would have to be the snack person for like the whole season.
Right, but it would
until be... Until you got to a certain level, and then it was like snack bar tickets, and then you got to get like a couple things at the snack bar.
We didn't have the ticket bit.
We had the ticket bit at Scripps Ranch Little League. They had a ticket, and it was like, I forgot, I think it got you like $1. It's like $1.50 or $2 or something like that. And I remember back then you'd get a lot of stuff for like $1.50 and $2.
Yeah, no kidding.
When I was in like sixth grade at the deal, I remember you would get like a hot dog and a soda or something like that. Or maybe a nachos or candy.
Yeah, it was nachos, hot dogs, and probably like a water or a Gatorade. That was like the go-to. You were the man if you got nachos.
Nachos are great. Yeah, now you're just Mike Crum. The best part about the Little League thing was like we'd play, like when you got to AAA and majors, at least in Scripps Ranch Little League, it was played at Jarabek. Mm-hmm. And like, the majors uniforms were the coolest at Scripps Ranch Little League when I was a kid because they were vests. So like, and majors had, majors was the only level that had the actual MLB logos when I went through Little League.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you got to the majors, which is the 12U age, right? They had the fence, they had the score, their scoreboard before, right? They flipped it right before I got there. They used to have a old school put numbers up on the board.
Nice.
And so like kids Love would hang it. Out after their game and run the scoreboard, and they'd put all the they'd put the numbers up on the board.
That's cool.
It was the coolest thing. And there's a little patio, like kind of like walkway up there, and you go up there and do the scoreboard. And they got rid of that for a digital one when I got to majors, and I thought that was so lame. It was so lame. It was probably way more cost effective and everything like that. But you see, you have to repair the wood that sits out there all the time. But kids would be able to do that, and then like they would always play, regardless of the games, it would always turn into a giant pickle game in the outfield.
Yeah.
After
oh, 100%.
You get psyched up on candy, hot dogs, slush puppies, soda, and then you would every kid would like flip their hat backwards, the vest would get untucked and undone, they'd look like a kid from the Sandlot, and you'd play this massive game of pickle.
We would always
with
play,
a tennis ball with pegs.
We would always play wall ball. That was our thing.
Very New Yorker of you.
It was, it's basically a throw a ball against the wall, and if you don't pick it clean, you have to run to the wall, and if you didn't beat the ball to the wall, you got pegged. Somebody would always have a tennis ball, and if we didn't have a tennis ball, it was a community center, so like there was football there, basketball there, and on the East Coast, lacrosse is big, especially up in New York. Boy, if we found a lacrosse ball,
oh god,
we were done.
Oh god,
baseball was over. If we found a lacrosse ball, we were playing wall ball with lacrosse ball. I actually
go Aztecs. Not for sure. Frank was going to say stick ball.
No,
come on, man.
No, that's
it's a foul for the stereotype.
That's more.
Oh, we should make the team next year. I just thought about that squirrel. Little Italy does a stick ball tournament every year. They got legit players in those things, though. I let me tell you, I know some like softball dudes that play in that thing. That'd be fun. Braden Sopranich show team,
yes.
Stickball team down in Little Italy.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be great.
But I don't think I need to tell you, if you've ever held a lacrosse ball,
that thing's a rock, dude.
Those things hurt.
That thing hurts.
Especially when you miss.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes and hits your lip. And you just so happen to have a tooth that sticks out a little bit further than all the other ones on the bottom. Yeah, that hurts a lot.
It hurts the natural casings.
Yeah, it's
Cody in the chat. Our little league, which is Pony. If kids take a foul ball to the snack bar and return it, they get a ticket for a fountain drink. That's awesome. That's a mad dash for it. You know what? Instead of saying somebody on it, everybody's on it, including the kids that are playing the game.
Better than what we had at St. Isidro High, I'll tell you that. San Isidro High had Snake Patrol.
Oh, that's fun.
Because their field is backed up against a field of high brush where rattlesnakes like to hang out. And we know that because there was one in our dugout one day before practice. So, yeah, nobody wanted to be on Snake Patrol. That's why I was happy holding the scorebook for my freshman year. I didn't have to be on Snake Patrol.
Cathedral's field is backed up into the canyon, and like foul balls just are. When I was there, the brush wasn't as thick as it is now. Now it's like it's a waste. The ball is gone forever. If you want to find baseballs, though, and if you're that canyon right there behind those houses, you're going to find thousands of baseballs. I guarantee it. Almost as much as the abyss over by USD at Fowler Park. They have all this shrubbery over there that's got. I'm telling you, if you take your kid to a USD game, tell him to go up in the shrubs. He or she will find probably thousands of baseballs. There's about 1,500 of them on the roof over the batting cage. But anyway, the little league thing. The pickleball stuff was fun. Pickle was fun. You would have two kids playing, and there'd be 1,000 kids in the middle.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you would peg some kid, he was out, and they would go down to like the final two kids, whatever. It was like an elimination game. That stuff was fun. That got on the tangent of what's harder to do at age 33 for Justin, manage a major league team like the new Nationals manager or managing a little league team.
Yeah, that was fun, unlike the news that broke this morning.
About Little League and the Players Association. Yeah, we're going to talk about that later on.
More adults ruining youth sports.
Yeah, or just making money off of it. And then the youth sports not getting anything. We're going to talk about that monstrosity later on in the show. We do want to talk about these candidates for the San Diego Padres. We'll keep you updated if we get any news on if they hire a manager or not. And Talk a little Aztec basketball last night. Aztecs and Toreros battled it out. I was right there. Front row seat with USDToreros.com. I'll let you know what I saw from yesterday's game when we come back. Aztecs looked pretty good. USD's got some things to work on, but a couple of bright spots we'll discuss when we come back on the Brayden Soprano Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Frank Marchese, I'm Brayden Soprano. This is the Brayden Soprano Show, live and local, each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You can follow us on social media at B_SURP. You can also follow us at the Brayden Soprano Show at B_SURP Show. You can also follow Frank Marchese, FMarks324. That's where you can find us. If you're watching on YouTube, do us a huge favor and give us a like on the YouTube page. We really appreciate it on this particular video. If you need to follow us, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our YouTube page at B_SURP. Link is below. Let's talk about the Aztec game last night. The Aztec-USD game last night. I got to be there. Obviously, I got to call the game for the University of San Diego with Jack Cronin. And it looked really good if you're San Diego State. Aztecs were able to make it through yesterday's game unscathed. It was great to see them play at a high level. I thought you got to see Dixon Waters play at a high level. He looked like Allen Iverson last night with his gear, by the way. He was swimming in it. Old 90s look. Early 2000s. Vyas Arena was legit. It was fun last night. And here's the thing for like USD. We talked about this. I talked about this with Steve Lavin before the game yesterday. It was a great opportunity for USD to go out there and get a exhibition game where they get to play on the road, play in front of a hostile crowd. It was a good crowd last night for an exhibition game. And they got to go against an elite team in San Diego State. So for USD, they got to do a lot of good things. They got a lot to work on, the Toreros do. Steve Lavin before the game talked about the physicality of San Diego State that they were trying to match, how his 14 newcomers were going to play together. And he also talked about the experience that was going to be, how are we going to react to playing at Viejas Arena when we have games against San Jose State on the road, games against Washington on the road, games against UCSD on the road. I mean, a bunch of different places that, will have a good environment, but not necessarily the environment that Viejas Arena has. And they don't have to go to Gonzaga this year. USD doesn't. And they don't have to play in tough environments, really, in the West Coast Conference. They have to go to St. Mary's, but that's still nothing compared to what it's like at San Diego State. As laid out by Mark Ziegler in his article, Viejas Arena, his first line in his recap was hilarious. Looking at the recap from last night's game. Halftime was more of a thriller than the game. And the pun was intended. The halftime entertainment was a Halloween-themed dance to Michael Jackson's Thriller, which merely made Viejas Arena more of a house of horrors for the University of San Diego. San Diego State led the Toros by 24 at the break and yawned its way to an 87-54 win in the final preseason basketball exhibition for both schools. The Aztecs jumped out to a 19-4 lead. USD scored first. By the way, neither team scored for like 3 minutes to get the game started. Crazy. You look at, you know what San Diego State, who's been to a San Diego State basketball game? You understand like the tradition they do? So they all stand there, Frank, and they clap until they score. They did it for 3 minutes last night. That was one of the longer ones. I've seen the Aztecs before on TV struggle to score early in a game, and it takes forever. The worst part, though, here's the worst part when you're San Diego State, is if you struggle to score early in the game and your opponent goes on an 8-0 run to get the game started, you're sitting there clapping. And they'll do that during fouls, like foul shots and stuff, too. It's miserable. But USD last night didn't score. It was 3 minutes of no scoring for either team. But then after those first 2 points, Aztecs ripped off like they went on a 13-0 run. They jumped out to a 19-4 lead, showing obviously immediate improvement from their sluggish start against UCLA in that exhibition game. And they were able to do it without Magoon Gwath, who's still not cleared to play, and Miles Bird, who's got an abdominal strain. San Diego State imposed its will, dominated in the paint, 18-4 in first half points, and shot 54% from the field compared to USD's 29%. For most of the time, I don't know how many times I said on the broadcast, it was Aztecs, 7 of the last 8 for the field. USD, 1 for the last 10. It's a lot of that last night. And a lot of that's from the Aztecs defense, and a lot of that also is from the fact that USD could not hit too many open shots. They got a lot of open looks. The layup game was rough. I mean, the points in the paint was ridiculous in favor of San Diego State. The rebounding, San Diego State doubled the amount of rebounds that USD had. I think it was like 36 to whatever, 13, something crazy like that. I mean, it was just absolute domination in the paint. USD had some bright spots with the way that Moore played last night. He was a newcomer. I really like, for USD, Tyler Johnson. He's a Wake Forest transfer. He spent some time at Louisville, too. He's from Brooklyn. Like, this is a guy that is going to be a good player for San Diego, but he and the rest of the Toreros got to be able to gel together, where I got to see, like, San Diego State has had that experience to gel together so far this year, so far with their team. I mean, it's a lot of the same faces coming back, despite what ESPN.com said about having to replace all these guys that went to the portal. I mean, what? ESPN.com the other day had ranking the potential NCAA tournament teams and like how far they could go. They had San Diego State as a could potentially win one game in the NCAA tournament. Give me a break. And the reasoning was having to replace so many that they lost in the transfer portal. What are they talking about? Does anybody pay attention over there? Like, what are they talking about? The best two players on the Aztecs last year, Magoon Gwath and Miles Bird, entered the portal and came back. And their third best player, who didn't get to play last year because that hurt, Reese Dixon Waters, is now back. Oh, and by the way, they added freshman Elzie Harrington. He looked pretty good last night. Taj DeGorville looked good last night. Both the Davis kids looked good last night. Miles Heidi was great in the paint. Reese Dixon Waters led the way with 17 points in 18 minutes. Latrell Davis had 13 points. Elzie Harrington had 12 points. Taj DeGorville had 11 points. Miles Heidi continued to provide steady interior presence, hauling in 8 rebounds. Brian Dutcher experimented with a couple of rotations. They got to see Louisiana Tech transfer Sean Newman Jr. He looked pretty good last night too. Farrell Compton was great. You see the guy? Anybody see the highlights of his dunk last night on social media? That was a dunk. Poster. Farrell Compton looked great last night. BJ Davis, Heidi had some bench rules. Dutchess said he's, quote, still finding out what we have before the real season begins. I think USD was trying to figure that out too. A lot of guys last night for both USD and San Diego State were playing for playing time. As for USD, they looked overwhelmed. I agree with Mark Ziegler. They looked overwhelmed by playing in that environment and playing against a really good team, and it was just, I mean, they were barely treading water before the game even started. There were a couple of times they showed some bright spots of being able to play, but at that point in time, they were already down by 24 points, and, you know, it was tough to see. Toreros are coming off of a 6-27 campaign and a shaky exhibition win over Division II Cal State Dominguez Hills. Never found a rhythm last night. Terlor Johnson, the Wake Forest transfer, again, spent some time at Louisville, led with 12 points, but the Toreros were out-rebounded 49-24 and trailed by as much as 38 last night. Coach Lavin had this to say after the contest. Again, I was part of that scrum. When you play a program like San Diego State with two-plus decades of success, it's an opportunity to learn. We were given a report card tonight. He kept talking about the report cards. And we'll see what they got. USD will start their season on Tuesday against Occidental. San Diego State will start their campaign on Tuesday night, also at home at Viejas Arena. Next Tuesday, on November 4th, against Long Beach State. The night also brought, obviously, some somber news. Former Aztec Lamont Butler, now in Atlanta. And the Hawks organization, as reported by Mark Ziegler, will miss his entire rookie season with torn ACL and meniscus. Another brutal setback for the March Madness hero. San Diego State, dominant response to what was a rough start against UCLA, where they were down, you know, 17-0 to get the game started. They jumped ahead on USD 19-4. They showed their depth, 43-22 in bench points, scoring edge despite sitting two key players. Reese Dixon Waters, two straight exhibition games as the Aztecs' top scorer, looks ready to lead and have his Mountain West Player of the Year level season. Sean Newman Jr. started the game. BJ Davis and Heidi came off the bench. I think the rotation for San Diego State is going to be good. I think they have some serious depth for this basketball team. They're going to have a great year. And then from a defensive side, we talk about the defense all the time for the Aztecs. USD shot just 3-for-18 inside the arc in the first half. 3-for-18. We talked about their field goal percentage. It was rough in general. They made a couple of shots from beyond the arc, a couple of uncontested threes, which you need to hit if you're playing a team like San Diego State. But other than that, couldn't really get anything going. Talor Johnson showed flashes, but, you know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to carry a very thin roster that USD has. Now, USD thinks they got some depth here with some of the players they have, and they played a lot of different players last night. I think almost everybody on the roster ended up playing. They got outboarded 49-24, as mentioned before. Coach Lavin talked about the physicality for the game. They got, you know, I don't want to say out-physical because I love when people say that because it's funny, but they got outperformed, out-muscled inside. Obviously a serious early concern, and they didn't even have Magoon Gwath in there. And after trailing Division II Dominguez Hills last week, a 33-point loss to San Diego State shows just how much they got to go to be the program that they want to be. They had some injuries, too, already. Gavin Ripp had an ankle last night, which is not great. I mean, it's the same ankle that he hurt last year. And so who knows what the status is of Gavin Ripp. And then the Ball State transfer, and Gorosito, has a hamstring, so he didn't play any time. And so now they're already in that, you know, power forward spot in a little bit of a behind the eight ball to start the season. But that's what kind of the key takeaways I got out of last night's contest. For USD, it's going to be an uphill climb. There are some bright spots that you saw last night in the game, but we'll see how they do against Occidental next week. They got a very favorable schedule that will challenge them, but also they should be able to rack up some wins in the non-con. As for San Diego State, without their two best players, they still look like a legit team that could compete in the Mountain West Conference without those two players that they're going to get back eventually during the season. It's going to be fun to watch San Diego State basketball play this year. It's going to be really fun. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, let's break this down. The managerial search has been narrowed to three finalists. Frank and I will discuss, out of these finalists, who the best fit is, and we'll just await when the Padres want to make a decision on who their manager is going to be. If that happens during the show, we will be the first to tell you. Braden Soprenich Show, San Diego Summer Sports Station, 97 through the Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
News about managerial search today.
The Padre managerial search, not that I have seen.
I haven't seen it yet either. We'll be on that.
We do have two new managers in Major League Baseball, though. Derek Shelton announced as the manager of the Twinks last night, and then the new Nationals manager.
The 33-year-old?
Yes. We're not going down that rabbit hole again.
Blake Butera, who at 33 will be the youngest MLB manager in more than a half century. That's interesting. 33 years old. Fascinating. And you look at the managers that have been hired so far. Right?
Yeah, I think it's a two of them. Only two of them have major league experience.
That's correct. Jeff Passan put that out. Managerial carousel so far. Blake Butera is the Nationals guy. Derek Shelton now with the Twins. Craig Albernaz as the Orioles. By the way, Albernaz with a thick Boston accent as the Orioles manager. Did you hear him speak the other day?
I did not, no.
Oh, my God. Pock the Ka, Havid Yad. I mean, it's just like, God, it is odd. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Look it up. I bet you that you can find the clip of him saying, like, Orioles fans, I can't wait to get a Camden Yards. Like, it's great. Please look for that. You got to play it for yourself, but you got to play it for the people out there. I got to listen to every one of these guys' press conferences, especially against the Red Sox.
I'm searching it now.
It's going to be great. So Blake Butera gets hired as the Nationals manager. Derek Shelton is the Twins manager. Craig Albernaz, Orioles' new manager. Giants go with Tony Vitello. Angels go with Kurt Suzuki. Rangers go with Skip Schumacher. That is six of the managers' jobs gone. There's three more left. Only two of those guys have managing experience, major league managing experience. Four of those guys do not. Atlanta, San Diego, and Colorado's jobs remain vacant. I would imagine like Colorado's waiting until they get the director, like their director of baseball, right? Everybody thought they had the wrong Butera for that hiring. Yeah, Blake Butera. He's 33 years old. We can get a full background on that. Jeff Passan put an article out about that today. And then the other thing is the Players Association thing is wild. We're going to talk about that at 11 o'clock.
I got the
all right.
Sound. I haven't heard it, so this is
all right. All right. Here is brand new Orioles manager Craig Albernaz sending a you know, like those traditional messages like on social media.
It's only 9 seconds long.
Right. He's got to be like, hey, we're going to need you to tell the fans that you're excited at whatever. Like the social media interns trying to like convince this guy to do this like selfie video he's never done in his life. Here's the new manager of the Orioles.
Hey, Birdland, Craig Albernaz here, your new manager of the Baltimore Orioles. Can't wait to see all you guys out at Camden Yards this year to watch our boys go out there and compete.
Oh, boy.
He sounds like a cop in The Departed. That's what he sounds like.
Oh, boy.
That accent sounds like a conflict of interest. Hey, Birdland. That guy sounds like an Irish cop in Boston. That's what he sounds like. That's like a scene out of The Departed. That's what I feel. Or The Town. Of course he's from Massachusetts. The Birdland's great. Hey, Birdland.
Go Aztecs. That accent sounds like a conflict
yes.
of interest.
Yes, it does. Every Orioles Red Sox game is going to be nonstop entertainment for the press conference. Hey, Birdland. Play that again. That was great. That needs to be a drop. I don't know what we'd use it for, but it's great. Every time.
We got three games against the Orioles this year, big dog.
Every time we mention the Orioles, we got to go, hey, Birdland.
Hey, Birdland. Craig Albernaz here, your new manager of the Baltimore Orioles. Can't wait to see all you guys out at Camden Yards this year.
Camden
to
Yards.
To watch our boys go out there and compete.
I love it. Hey, Birdland. Guy's trying to arrest Ben Affleck in The Town. Guy talking smack to Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. He sounds like a cop from a movie in Boston. That's what he sounds like. Chargers play the Eagles in a few weeks. Play the Hey Birdland. Hey Birdland's a new one. Is that a deal? Like, is that,
yeah,
I don't
that
know, Orioles
is a,
fans. Is it Birdland?
It's somewhat of a gimmick, yeah.
I want him to yell, oh, during the national anthem. Oh. Boston media needs to submit their interview request ASAP. I love it, dude. I think it's great. Nate Taylor's our resident Massachusetts guy. Is it going to be weird when he's rooting for the Patriots against the Ravens? It's going to be weird. I love it. Marky, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny, and Brian. Why couldn't he be the Padres manager? I'd be just having a ball
day. You know what?
I got to hear it one more time.
There's only one manager that could beat Albert Pujols and could win the press conference, and that's this dude.
It's this guy.
Hey, Birdland, Craig Albernaz here, your new manager of the Baltimore Orioles. Can't wait to see all you guys out at Camden Yards this year to watch our boys go out there and compete.
What a...
Welcome to Petco Pack.
Pack. Pack the car, Harvard Yard. Marky, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny, and Brian. That is the one accent I can't really get down. I can't. It's hard. It's hard to do.
If you're trying, because a lot of people mix it with the New York accent.
Yeah, it kind of blends like that. Kind of when mid-Atlantic area up to the Northeast, it kind of all starts to blend.
When car keys become khakis,
you've
got. If you're trying to do a New York accent,
my mom can do it.
If car keys become khakis. You're too far north.
Too far north. Khakis. Oreo pack at Camden Yards. Hey, it's going to be a new way of saying it.
Legend. Just legendary stuff.
Hope he breaks down seasons and quarters. I hope he has a lot of success. He needs to be eventually this is how this works out. It needs to be like the coaching carousel in college football where like he gets the Red Sox steal him as the manager. Why do they need Alex Cora for? They could just do the Massachusetts guy. That was phenomenal. I love it. Absolutely love it. That was great. What a bummer, dude. That could have been a great press conference.
It's the only other guy that could have won the press
that's
conference.
That's winning the press conference right there. The thick Boston accent.
We're retweeting it on the show Twitter account, B_SURP show.
Show everybody.
We're retweeting it right now.
I love it. All right. We only have a couple of minutes here. Let's quickly get through like the process of the search. For the Padres, according to team sources, the front office has narrowed the list of candidates to a small group that includes Nick Hundley, Ruben Niebla, and Albert Pujols, with possibly one or two other names still in consideration. The opening was created by Mike Schilt when he stepped down on October 13th after two seasons at the helm. Padres have completed initial interviews and are now in the final stages of their decision-making process. There's no official timetable, but with second-round interviews underway, a hiring decision could come within days. General manager A.J. Preller emphasized a thorough, quality-driven process, saying, quote, it's really about getting quality candidates together and being thorough with our process. Top candidates, Ruben Niebla, Albert Pujols, Nick Hundley. Ruben Niebla, currently the Padres pitching coach, a position he's held for four seasons, highly respected inside the clubhouse for his communication skills and success developing his pitching staff, has expressed interest in becoming a major league manager in the past. He represents the most prominent internal candidate, providing continuity within the organization. The most prominent external candidate, Albert Pujols, future Hall of Famer, 703 home runs, 3,384 hits, 22 MLB career veteran with the Cardinals, Angels, and Dodgers. Since retiring in 2022, he's worked as a special assistant with the Angels and managed Leones de Escogido in the Dominican Winter League, leading them to a Caribbean Series championship in 2025. He would bring star power and leadership experience, though he lacks major league managerial experience. Then it brings up Nick Hundley. A lot of people know about Nick Hundley, obviously a former Padre, former MLB catcher who played 12 seasons, including 7 with San Diego, retired in 2019 and has served as a special assistant to the Texas Rangers front office since 2022, was previously considered for the Giants managerial job before Tony Vitello was hired. He also, that was his job to lose. He didn't want it. He didn't want to move. He wanted to stay in San Diego, which he lives currently. Known for his baseball intellect and leadership during his playing career. While Niebla, Pujols, and Hundley are confirmed finalists, one or two unnamed candidates might still be under consideration. The team has not disclosed further details about who those individuals might be. Next Padres manager will inherit a talented but uncertain roster with several key offseason decisions ahead. San Diego's reached the playoffs in back-to-back years, only the second time in franchise history that's happened. A.J. Preller described the job as, quote, really attractive, citing the club's strong fan support, over 3.5 million fans annually, strong player development system, and a World Series pursuit that remains the ultimate goal. That's what you need to know about the managerial search. Who is the best out of that group? Well, we're going to take a deeper dive into Nick Hundley later in the show. We've spent enough time, I think, on Albert Pujols. Correct, Frank?
Yes.
I mean, we've said basically everything that we need to say about Albert Pujols. The only thing that we haven't said yet is he had a 9.5-hour interview. It's about it. Barstool Sports said that was about to turn into a sleepover. It's a great tweet right there. But there are some pros to Nick Hundley too. And some people yesterday were like, absolutely not a Nick Hundley. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Nick Hundley. We're going to talk about what he brings to the table, why he would be a good candidate. I've already mentioned, out of the three, I like Albert Pujols because I think he's exactly what the Padres need right now. But that doesn't mean like Nick Hundley's not a good candidate. And we'll talk about his candidacy in the next hour. We will also, when we come back, talk about what's going on with the MLB Players Association and why they're getting investigated by the feds. That's an interesting story that dropped today by Jeff Passan. We'll get you all the details of that as we start the 11 o'clock hour. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.